Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week, and it is really our privilege to have you follow along in our Bible studies. We're continuing now our Bible study here concerning a man that, other than baptizing the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't hear really too much about. And yet his name is John the Baptist. And as we begin to examine his life here, as we have in the past few weeks, we find out he was a tremendous preacher. He never compromised on anything, and he was right straightforward in telling the truth and preaching the gospel. We come over here to Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to get our foothold here and then go back to where we were last week here to Matthew chapter 7 and pick it up. We find out here in verse 6 of the third chapter here of the Gospel of Matthew that concerning John now, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He's telling them, you are lost, and call them vipers. And in verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits met for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. It doesn't matter what religion you've been involved in. It doesn't matter what your parents have been involved in. It makes no difference whatsoever. When you reach the age of accountability, you must make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you make no decision, then you're lost and you'll spend eternity in hell. All you have to do to go to hell is nothing. But then you'll find out that God, through somebody witnessing to you, you listening to a radio broadcast, watching a TV ministry, or Billy Graham or whatever, that you will hear that God loved you, and there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Christ. And John the Baptist preached repentance. That means change your mind about anything that you want to do, had any idea about, or anything else, and accept God's way to heaven when Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come unto the Father except through the Son. But John the Baptist said, I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And even your hearts are so hard, like stone, some of you God can save if you have a desire to know the truth. Then he goes on and preaches on down here and says in verse 10, And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. He's using this metaphorically now to illustrate the good tree and the bad tree, representing the one who has the right message, the Christian, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, or a corrupt tree which bears no fruit whatsoever, and this is the fruit of the tree. This is what cult religions bring forth. This is what maybe a church may bring forth. They want to bring forth a Lutheran. They want to bring forth a Catholic. They want to bring forth a Baptist, or they want to bring forth one that is involved in Mormonism, or a Jehovah's Witness will want to bring home or forth a Jehovah's Witness. But he's talking about the fruit now of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit is the true fruit, a believer in Christ. Anything outside of that is lost. That is a false tree. And then he goes on to say, you bringeth forth not good fruit. This is not talking about the good works in your life now. It's talking about a pear tree bringing forth a prayer, a pear, a peach tree bringing forth a peach, a grapefruit, a grapefruit, a lime tree, a lime, and so forth there. Now, if you do not bring forth good fruit, that is another believer in Jesus Christ, then it is hewed down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, that's on the day of Pentecost, and with fire, that's at the end of the tribulation period when he judges the nations there. Now, he'll thoroughly, fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, the garner, of course, is the saved, he'll burn up the chaff, that's the lost, and with unquenchable fire. When's the last time you've heard your preacher preaching on the damnation of hell, that there is hell for the unbelievers? Now, with this in mind, we want to go right on over, because we have more of this information where we left off last week here, over here in Matthew chapter 7, and to really get now the counterfeit of Christianity. Now, you can never tell a Christian by the way they look, they act, but you can tell a Christian, you should be able to tell a Christian, when they tell you how they are going to heaven when they die. So we come over here in verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat, because strait is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and there be few that find it. In the Greek, it is perceive it. You know why they do not perceive it? Because they have hardened their heart. They've been brought up in this particular religion, in that particular religion. They've been taught that, you know, well, my mommy baptized me as a baby, and I'll carry that little certificate right straight into hell. I don't need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. My mother had me baptized, and that's what the damnable doctrine of baptismal regeneration does. It'll take a person right straight to hell. I don't know how many that I've talked to and said, you know, you must be born again. You must have the new birth by putting your trust in Jesus Christ. No. I don't want to hear it. Mom had me baptized, and my church is good enough for me. I'm going to die of this denomination. I was raised in it. I'm going to live in it, and I'm going to die in it. Don't want anything to do with Christ. This is the corrupt tree. Now, in verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. A false prophet will never stand up and say, I'm a false prophet. You can only tell that by what he says as compared to the Word of God. So if you do not know the Bible, you are subject to satanic delusion and being deceived because you have nothing to compare what this minister says, this preacher says, or this prophet says. You have nothing to compare it with, which is the truth. The Lord Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, in verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits, not by how good a life they live, because you could have a cult leader, a cult church, right, and a person involved into that living right next door to you, and they could be the nicest neighbors you'd ever want. They'd do anything to help you. They're kind, they're polite, they're moral people. And you wouldn't want any better neighbors at all. But what they believe, we're not talking about what kind of life they live. They'll even mention the Lord. But how do you go to heaven when you die? Now, notice what it says. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? In other words, if this person is a Jehovah's Witness, they will bring you and indoctrinate you into the Jehovah's Witness doctrine. If they are a Mormon, they will do the same thing. I was talking to a Mormon here on the telephone. This person called and wondered if they could come down and so forth, and they wanted to visit. And I said, well, I'm a Baptist minister here in Walnut Grove. And I said, let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins? He said, yes, sir, I do. I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior? Yes, sir, I do. Now, I know what the Mormons believe, and they do not believe that, but they coin the same terminology in order to lead you on. I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh? Oh, no, we don't believe that. I said, there's where we differ. If he's not God in human flesh, then he is a sinner because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I said, I bet you're trying to go to heaven on your good works. And he said, you've got to have good works to do that. He didn't want to say heaven too much, but you've got to have good works. And I quoted him Ephesians 2:8-9. I said, would you explain this verse to me? And for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I said, it says not of works, yet you're telling me you've got to have good works. And Isaiah 64:6 tells us also that all of our good works are nothing but a pile of filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. And he said, well, I want to tell you this. Yes, I believe that. I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. Then he came back, and he said, you know, no, you have got to have good works along with faith. And I said, well, then you have to cut this verse out of your Bible. And I said, you're just trying to go to heaven by self-righteousness, and you'll only brag about it, and that's just exactly what you're doing to me right now. And I said, besides that, we don't believe in polygamy. We don't believe in plurality of wives and so forth like that, and so forth. And I reminded him of something else. I said, you know, I don't want a religion where Brigham Young and one of his lieutenants there had spilled the beans on him that they killed over 100 and some immigrants that were heading out there totally unarmed, and they just massacred the whole bunch of them. That's history. And I said, no, I don't want involved in that kind of religion. My religion is not a killer religion. Our religion is a religion where we love people no matter what they do or there, and we tell them that Jesus Christ loved them also. But you know what? This man wanted to bring forth me to be a Mormon, not Jesus Christ, and not the hope of eternal life. No, he just wanted to bring forth a Mormon, not a Christian. Now, so when you begin to pin these men down and so forth, I had a Jehovah's Witness come to my house here, I suppose a couple of months ago, and I was out in the yard. And nice young man, very polite young man, and so forth. And we began to talk, and I asked him the same questions I asked the Mormon there. And he was very nice, very sweet, wouldn't raise his voice or anything else. And I said, you know, you have a killer religion. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, if your wife was dying, and she was on the operating table, and the doctor told you that she needed a blood transfusion to live, your religion, Jehovah's Witnesses, refuse to allow you to give permission for your wife to live by restraining the doctors from giving her a blood transfusion. Do you know that? Well, he says, there's scripture for that. I says, no, you go to Leviticus 17:11, well, the life is in the blood. There's nothing that prohibits whatsoever of giving a blood transfusion, but I don't want to be involved in a killer religion. I don't want involved in that. And if my wife's laying there dying and the doctors say a blood transfusion will save her life, then God wants me to save her life, and I'm going to do that. But you'll let your wife die or your children die on the operating table. I don't want any part of your religion, none whatsoever. You do not believe that you go to heaven when you die. You do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. You do not believe that he is your Savior. And yet the Bible tells us, in him, that's Christ, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Therefore, in the Lord Jesus Christ, they, all three, are one. Yes, the Trinity. Can you explain it? There's no way in the world I could explain it. I can't explain how God created this earth in 6 days. How he created man out of the dust of the earth. I can't explain it, but I'll tell you one thing. I sure see it. And he went on, and we talked a little bit, but he got mad, real mad. And I said, by the way, give me your address. I'd like to come up. He was out of Marshall. And I said, I'd like to come up and visit you. Well, he wouldn't give me his address or anything like that. And but he wanted to bring forth a Jehovah's Witness, not a Christian. And I didn't know this sometime back. They do not claim to be Christians. I didn't know that. I had one tell me that because I'd ask him. This was some time back further than that. I said, are you a Christian? He said, well, we don't call ourselves Christians. So they don't even claim to be Christians. Now, I'm not saying that derogatory to run them down, because I know some Jehovah's Witnesses. They're very nice people. I have visited with them, try to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's an amazing thing. Here we have John the Baptist over here, and he's teaching, repent, change your mind from all of this stuff you've been fed in Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormonism or so forth like that, or unity, the soul sleeping and reincarnation. One man told me one time, said, I'm sort of cosmopolitan. I said, what in the world's that? He says, I take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and I put it all together and I've got it. He said, but I really lean toward reincarnation. I said, boy, that's smart. Because at the top of reincarnation and so forth, and the Hindu religion, it was Hindu, he said, he leaned toward. I said, you know what? When you get to be a cow, that's the end of her, brother. The cow is sacred. That's it. When it dies, you're gone. There's no more. I said, I'll recommend something to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And when you die, you're passed from death unto life. And but he was a little cosmopolitan, a little sweet little old guy, you know. He had it all together with his philosophy and so forth. And I said, you get to be a cow, you're done, brother, you know. Well, maybe give him some food for thought. But anyway, we come over here and find out each one, a Jehovah's Witness will bring forth a Jehovah's Witness, not a Christian. A Mormon will bring forth a Mormon to get you indoctrinated into that. not a Christian. But you're going to find out each tree will bring forth what they are and what they stand for and what their doctrine is. We come on down in verse 15. Now, he talks about the broad and wide gate, which takes in every kind of humanistic philosophy that you want. The David Koresh, all of these new cults that are coming up, all of these new age movements that are coming up, all of the satanic delusion of the mind, try this, try that, one thing or another. But straight is the way. And that way is so straight, it goes from earth through the cross to heaven. Now, any other way outside of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, it bypasses the cross. If it bypasses the cross, then it can include any kind of philosophy that you want to inject. It can include the doctrine of evolution, which there is none, but it can include that. It can include being your own God, your good works, your water baptism, the minister saying, I can forgive your sins. Whatever you want to throw it in, but it'll never take you to heaven. Christ said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except through the Son. Now let's go on down, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Now the fruits are another of their kind. They try to get the unsuspecting to come into their fold. That's the fruit. We're not talking about the fruit of a Christian spoken of in Galatians. We're not talking about that. Good works are that. But the fruit is being and getting an unsuspecting person, naive to what they really teach, indoctrinated into their cult. Now, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So, we come on down. Even so, every good tree that bringeth forth good fruit, that is the Word of God, that is the good fruit, that is the Christian leading other lost people to Christ, that's the good fruit. Same thing spoken of in John chapter 15. Then bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Other words, if they don't go by way of the cross, they're not a good tree. If they're trying their water baptism, if they're trying their church membership, if they're trying their good works, if they're trying to confess their sins to somebody else, some preacher, something or there, or to the church, then this is the false tree. And it's hewed down, cast into the fire. Metaphorically speaking and talking about, you're lost. You're going to burn in hell. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one. Now, show you that it's not talking about your good life or what you do for other people and being kind and so forth, because these men, these false prophets, had all of those things. I'll tell you what, if John the Baptist got in there, he would preach not by works of righteousness, which we've done according to his mercy as he saved us. John the Baptist preached the same thing as what you got here. That's what he was talking about there by the good tree and the bad tree and the being hewed down into the fire and so forth. Now, let's see these false teachers, what they had. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The will of the Father which is in heaven, before you do anything, is not obey the Ten Commandments, not do this, not do that, but come to Jesus Christ with nothing and receive his payment on the cross as payment for your sins. If you could do anything yourself, then Christ died in vain. There was no reason for Jesus Christ to die on the cross if you could save yourself. So, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And this is right at the judgment now. You're going back here to when he is going to hew them down and throw them into the fire. And he says, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not preached in thy name? Oh, yes, they intermingle the name of the Lord and so forth. And in thy name have we not cast out demons and devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? They'd be the best neighbors you ever thought. It would be the wonderful man up behind the pulpit that was just so sweet and so nice and would never raise his voice or anything else. But he's feeding you cyanide. That's what he's doing. Arsenic. That's what he's feeding you. And it's not something you're going to grow on. It's not something that's going to take you to heaven. It's just a social gospel. It's an ecumenical gospel. It's just love everybody. Let's put doctrine. Don't mention about doctrine now. And then notice what Christ says about these false prophets. He says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." And yet you had all these good things. You talked about the Lord, but the thing is, you can talk about God, you can talk about the Lord, but if you don't talk about the Lord as being the one and the total payment for your sins when Christ said it is finished, you can talk about the Lord, you can talk about the Sermon on the Mount, you can talk about the parables, you can talk about the Bible, but if you don't trust Jesus Christ and understand the whole central point, the Christocentric point of the Bible, the vertebrae of the Bible is Jesus Christ. And if you don't trust Him personally as your Savior, you can go to church and come out of church and feel good every Sunday morning. You can be baptized so the frogs know your Social Security number. You can do all the good, kind things, and everybody in town think you're just the most wonderful person in the world. And the Lord's going to say, "I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Now we go on back, we find a little bit more about this, because this is what John the Baptist preached. Repent. Change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why? Because the king is at hand. And he was presenting the kingdom. He was the forerunner of Christ. Do you know what, as a Christian, you are the forerunner of Christ today before he comes back? Before he comes at the rapture? We are an ambassador of Christ. We ought to take that message. I'd like for you to notice something here, because we preach that message today, and people are so disillusioned, so mistaught, so indoctrinated into "I am of this denomination" and so forth, that when you preach, I remember we came to Walnut Grove and preaching about Jesus Christ coming back. They never heard that before. That was a strange doctrine to them. That was strange. They never heard that in their churches. And not talking about Christ coming at the rapture and the dead in Christ rising first, and us which alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Never even heard the word rapture. So what did we get labeled? Oh, we have a cult that come to town, a cult religion, totally ignorant of the Bible. Don't know anything about the Bible whatsoever, don't carry a Bible to church. Now notice here, if you will, in 2 Peter here in chapter 3. It says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." This is your mockers today. This is your liberal churches today. They go to church every Sunday, sit in the bars on Monday through Saturday, go to church on Sunday. Don't know anything about the Bible whatsoever, other than it has God in it, maybe. I guess that's where they find the word God, if they ever use the name, outside of swearing and cussing. But notice something here. These are willingly ignorant. They're scoffers saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? We never hear that in our church." Well, you're asleep in it probably half the time. And if you were awake, you're not going to hear it in your liberal churches anyway. But anyway, we find out little Jude describes the same ones. He says, "These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water." They're no good without water. Oh, they don't do anything for the earth. And this is just how empty men are. They give you their philosophical ideologies and so forth. They have nothing that has substance to them whatsoever, unless it contains, "Thus saith the Lord." And then he goes on down, and he begins to tell them here. He says, "These are raging waves," he says, "of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." And goes on down in verse 19. Little book of Jude. "These be they who separate themselves sensually." That is the natural man. They have not the Holy Spirit. Having not the Spirit, they're lost. Because if any man not have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. These are your church members that are lost on their way to hell. This is your modernistic liberals of today. Let me read you something here, because we had this come to us here. The New School Prayer. Let me get this in if I can before time's gone. "Now I set me down in school where praying is against the rule. For this great nation under God finds mentioning of him very odd. If scripture now the class recites, it violates the Bill of Rights. And any time my head I bow becomes a federal matter now. Our hair can be purple or orange or green. That's no offense. It's the freedom scene. The law is specific, the law is precise, prayer spoken aloud are a serious vice. For praying in a public hall might offend someone with no faith at all, and in silence alone we must meditate, God's name is prohibited by this state. We're allowed to curse and dress like freaks, and pierce our noses and our tongues and our cheeks. They've outlawed guns, but first the Bible, to quote the good book, makes me liable. We can elect a pageant senior queen, or a pregnant senior queen, and the unwed daddy our senior king. It's inappropriate to teach right from wrong. We've taught that such judgments do not belong. We can get our condoms and birth control, study witchcraft, vampires, and totem poles, but the Ten Commandments are not allowed. No word of God must reach this crowd. It's scary here, I must confess. When chaos reigns, the school's a mess. So, Lord, the silent plea I make, should I be shot, my soul please take. Well, you know, sort of describes the situation. If John the Baptist was preaching today, there would be very few churches other than your fundamental Bible-believing churches that he would ever be allowed in. They would call him a freak. They would call him a cult. They would call him an antichrist preacher because they don't know anything. They don't want the Word of God. They want to live in their sin. They don't want to be born again. They don't want anything to do with Christ. They just want to pray to church and act like some little town saint when in reality they're a sinner lost on their way to hell. Well, I hope these messages are not brought in order to just condemn someone or that, but it does show you the way that our world's going today. It shows you that we're in the last days. Timothy said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I'll tell you what, I couldn't believe it the first time we came here 9 years ago. I couldn't believe that some ignoramus would say a Baptist church is a cult. I couldn't believe it. That I thought they must be the biggest airhead I have ever met in my life to put out something like that. But it sure shows one thing. They raised in a little town. They live in a little town. They never got out of a little town, probably never traveled 50 miles from a little town, and this is all that they know. This is what they've been brainwashed with. But I thank God for one thing. Can they be saved? Anyone can be saved. If you have a desire to know the truth, you'll find out the Holy Spirit will illuminate your mind that, look, do you want to die and spend eternity in hell? I hope you don't. That's why we bring these messages. We want to tell you that God loved you and Jesus Christ died for you personally. If you'd been the only person on the earth, he died for you. And he wants you to put your faith in him and trust him as your Savior and then have the peace of knowing that you're passed from death unto life. You'll never perish but have everlasting life. I see our time's gone. Been so good to have you follow along. We hope you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota. And our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.